aside from it. We're not to, you know, vacate this place and go someplace else. No, he's put us here for a purpose and a reason. And, you know, you can look at it and think, my goodness, look what he has entrusted into you today of what he wants you to be in this place. Wayne touched upon just a little bit of what I want to go back on just a little bit here and share. And the one phrase, he shared a lot of good ones in there. But the one that he had shared about was, release his light. To release his light. What is easy to do in that, it doesn't take a lot of light to dispel the darkness. But we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a bright light. Amen? And when his return comes, it'll be bright. It's not going to be a dim 40-watt bulb coming out of the sky. It's going to be extremely bright and a lot of things happening. But I believe we today are charged with that responsibility to release his light in this place. He's put his light within us. It tells us that, you know. Let me just begin here. I'm going to go to Ephesians 5:8. In Ephesians 5:8, it's talking in this area, number one, in Ephesians 5, it's walking in love. And then we get into about verse 8, and my heading says to walk in light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as what? Children of light. We are walking as children of light if we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's there for us. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but do what? Rather expose them. Rather expose them. Reprove them. That has happened, and that's been going on since the foundation of time, correct? But it's not to stop. It's to continue on even in today. And it's sometimes sad to say that there's a lot of darkness out there, so there's a lot of darkness to reprove. There's a lot of darkness out there to expose. Amen? We need to expose them to the light. So it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But of all things that are exposed are made manifested by the light. For whatever makes manifested is light. But all things that are exposed are made manifested by the light. And it goes on to talk about walking in wisdom and things that we need to do today. But my message of today is, as much evil and darkness that is out there, you are the light. And you are for the time, as Wayne was sharing already, really, for such a time as this. And that we shouldn't hide that light. Now, Matthew 5:15 says that, right? Talks about here, believers are salt and light. In Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? We all know these verses. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine, or let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify not you, but your Father in heaven. We are out serving our Heavenly Father. It's not to glorify a church. It's not to glorify a denomination. It's not to glorify an individual. It's to glorify God the Father as we live out this life doing what He's asked us to do. He's given us His light. Let's see real quick. I've bounced around here, but just all these things have kind of hit here. In John 8:12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. Who here is following Jesus? He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have what? The light of life. The light, the light, the light. We look at, he's the manna, he's the bread of life. He's so much, but he's the light as well. And we find that as we have Christ in our lives, as we are receiving him, and now he and Matthew, it's talking, and believers are salt and light. And I'm going to tell you, when God puts his light in you, he's not expecting you to go hide. He's not expecting you to put a shade over yourself and say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm going to heaven, and now I'm going to just write out the rest of my life here, and I'm putting a basket over myself so that I can hide myself, because I don't want to draw attention to myself. There's a time and a place, and now is the time to draw attention to yourself. And I'm not saying you're going out there and revolting and fighting, all that. I'm just saying you need to let your light shine in a darkened world that's getting darker and grosser by the minute, by the day, and just go out there and show the love of Christ. Be that example. Be compassionate. Be caring. Be loving. Be forgiving. Be whatever you need to be at the time. And I know that as filled with the Holy Spirit, as we are a spirit being and we've had our spirit renewed and being led by the Spirit, I know that no matter where I'm at, if God has put it upon me to impress somebody there, to show his light in that area, if I'm tuned to him, I will probably, hopefully, say or do what he's asking me to do. Because that person needs to see that, hear that, experience that. And it's not to experience Tim, it's to experience God, because they're hurting. You know, Linda was sharing tragedy that's taken place in a loved one in their family that's out west. You know, what tragedy goes forth there? And we pray and we lift that situation up for that family. And we just pray that, you know, God is there and let there be light there. You know, there's a darkness now that has come in. When people deal with tragedy and death, a lot of it seems like it's not light, it's dark. It caves in on us. But we, hopefully on the outside, we can speak hopefully life into it, or at least keep him in our prayers and say, oh God, be their God. Oh God, let their weakness, Lord, fill that void of hurt and be there and be compassion and love. Put somebody in their path, a pastor, a co-laborer in the field here, Lord. Put somebody with them that could at least share your love. They may not be able to explain why tragedies happen and why these things happen and a young person's life is taken or several lives are taken. You know, we've had that day in and day out, even that situation weeks back now from Las Vegas. No one can put their finger on why those tragedies happen and those things developed, other than the get-go is there's evil in the world. And evil will rear its head. And when evil rears its head, it does what evil does, bad. Evil does not do good. And so when tragedies happen, evil has reared its head. And there's some reasons why these things happen, and they can, you know, there's purposes and reasons, like some situations with the person's mental faculties or stress or post-traumatic stress and things like that. But again, it gets back sometimes where even that guy from out in Las Vegas, they still can't figure out why he did it. They even took his brain out, and they're examining his brain to try to figure out what kind of gray matter has gone bad, you know. The last I've heard, or I'm not really following it closely, but it's just I don't think nothing has come out of even the dissecting of his brain. We could save him a whole lot of time and energy if we just say, you know, sounds to me like he just had evil in him, and that's where it's at. Go on. You know, if you really want to help the situation, get on your knees and pray for this nation. If you really want to combat evil that's in our generation, get on your knees and pray, or not even on your knees, sit, meditate, do something, but pray and lift up these situations to God. God knows how bad it's getting. God tells us how bad it's going to get, but nowhere in there does he ever say to stop praying. He tells us, don't cease praying. Don't cease praying. Keep on praying, you know. The world would tell you, well, you might as well stop praying because it's not working. Oh, it is working, because just think how terrible it would be if prayer wasn't working. You know, we think we're in doom and gloom now. I tell you what, if it wasn't for those in praying and those of our forefathers and those from the past keeping our nation and our country in prayer, where would we be today? We've got to continue to pick up that mantle, that baton, whatever it is, and we got to go to where and pray without ceasing. And we've got to take these situations by, we got to begin to control it, man. And it's not our control, it's God's control, but he's going to work through his people. God's looking up there saying, it is bad, Tim. What are you going to do about it? You know, God is saying, I'm there. All you have to do is just call on me. But you're running to and fro like the rest of the world, like the rest of the country, like the rest of humanity. And you're going, oh no, it's getting worse. There's nothing we can do. Just give up. Cash it in. It's going to continue to get worse, so why worry about it? We need to stand and we need to continue to be that light. Release, as Wayne said, release his light. So we've talked about quickly here about how it is said in Matthew, don't hide that light. Got a lot of churches out there hiding their light. We could be one of those churches too if we don't make a conscious effort to be the light. Amen. Light does not have to do with how big the church is, how many people are in it. It's just being productive of doing what God has asked you to do and to speak his word, stay connected to his truth, and don't listen to the things out there that are trying to erode his word or take his word away. It is his word from the beginning to the end, from everything in between, and that's all we need to worry about. It's what does his word say? Not what man says, what his word says. Don't interpret it to me. Just tell me what it says. Just read it flat out. You know, what the scripture says. Be his light. You are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I'm not going to hide it. So we've looked at, you know, Ephesians, talking about that. And then Philippians, it's kind of like where I began looking at this and then kind of backtracked it a little bit. But in Philippians chapter 2:12, it's talking about light bearers. You need to bear the light of Christ. Amen. And it is, you know, as I look around here, we may not all be of the same wattage of Christ. You know, there could be some that are 100 watt, 50 watt, 75 watt, 3,000 watt. The wattage doesn't matter. It's just that you've got your light, let it shine. Maybe some of us ought to be like those lights they have now. We've got a couple at our house now that are sensors where they come on at dusk on a low level, and then when there's activity close by, they get brighter. Maybe that's the kind of light that we need to be. When things happen, tragedies happen in our society, 9/11, Las Vegas, hurricanes, tornadoes, shootings in schools, things like that, that's when our light really needs to come on and be bright. Amen? Not cower down, not put a basket over, don't sing the doom and gloom that the world is saying. You've got to speak a different voice out there. You've got to speak God's voice out there, what God has put into you. And it ain't defeated. It's not losing the battle, amen? It's to stand strong. It's to pray. It's to keep it in prayer. And it's to begin to see God move in these situations. And believe it or not, he has moved his hand. We may not have seen it. And then again, maybe we have seen it. We look at some of these tragedies. Very bad, very sad, very heart-wrenching. But there's always seeming to be, when they get into some of the descriptions of it, they go, it could have been a lot worse. But this happened, and it tracked them to do this, and they didn't have time to do that. Yes, several lives were lost, but there could have been more. One loss of life is sad enough, amen. 50 or 80 or 100 or 200, it's very sad. But if you looked at it, wow, you know, 58 could have been 158. But all of these things that begin to come out. I just want to say it this way, because God said it this way, that you know, what the enemy means and desires for evil, God will turn it into good. And even throughout our tragedies and these things that have happened, what news and all that I've watched, I'm kind of like Wayne. I'm kind of like, you know, I don't need to watch this stuff, even 10 o'clock, 5 o'clock, or whatever. I don't need to watch this stuff because it's just like it's always there. And it's about the same stuff every day. But you do hear of tragedies and things that you're kind of aware of what's going on in the world, per se. But as they interview people that have gone through tragedies, and I don't know, maybe it's because of what I'm wanting to focus on. You know, sometimes what you want to focus on is what you pay attention to. And sometimes if you want to focus on the bad and the negative, you'll pick that up out of the news. If you can desire to say, I'm going to focus on the positive things, I want to hear something good about what's happening here. You know, it's bad, but there's got to be something. But a lot of these people that they've interviewed, even throughout these hurricanes and tornadoes, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, the fires out west, I come away with hearing people say, it's just stuff. We've got our life. We can rebuild. We lost some treasures, but it's just stuff. You know, there was a time, I remember, and there's still some that do that, but it seemed like it was more focused on people were just out there just wailing and crying because they lost, you know, their microwave and their color TV and their couches and all this stuff. And now I'm seeing people with a different light. I'm hearing them say, it's just stuff. I've gotten my life. I got my wife. I got my family. We got our kids. We can build. We can go on. That's what God tells us in our life. When it sometimes feels like it's destroyed, I think we've got to have that tenacity, that understanding of saying, you know, that was just stuff. That was just a situation in my life that happened then. I'm going to rebuild. And I'm going to begin to build on the foundation of Christ. And I'm going to build my life there. We had, speaking of the light, and you want to share that light with those around you. This past pantry, it was a privilege. I was able to visit with a lady as she sat there, and she was, how are you doing? You don't have to pray to get the food, but if you like prayer, I'd like to pray with you or just talk with you, whatever you would like. And she says, well, my husband passed away about January of this year. January, this is October, 10 months out, and she says, I'm still grieving. And I said, yes, you will be. And that's okay. I said, everyone grieves differently. Grief lasts differently in everyone's life. But because you're grieving now, don't think there's something wrong or that you're not strong or that you're, you know, losing it. I said, you cry when you need to cry. And you laugh when you need to laugh. How long were you married? 55 years. That grief will take a long time to come out. 55 years. It's a long time. Had a wonderful visit with her. I may have prayed with her. I can't even remember. I think I might have. I don't know. It's not one of these things you force. As I looked at that Friday and I kind of was looking at be light bearers, you know, did we ever get to that point of Philippians where it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I'm really understanding more and more of that light that we need to be. I hope and pray as I sat across that table from that lady that there was light there. Not me, but God there, giving me words to say to help her. Sent her on her way. Next person I get, young lady. She just sat there. I said, you went through the whole spiel. You know, we'd like to pray with you if you'd like to have prayer. You don't have to pray to get the food. Da, da, da. We just want to be here and help you and sometimes just talk. Would you like to have prayer? She just kept looking at me. I go, and then I went on to say some other things. And then I went back, because this is her first time here. Would you like to have prayer for anything specific? She never said anything. And then all of a sudden she said, yeah, I've just lost my father. Well, this lady I talked to previously was the mom, and she did say her daughter was there with her, but I didn't know the clue that this was the same lady or family. But anyway, as soon as she said, "I just lost my father this year," I said, "I just talked to your mom, didn't I?" "Yeah." And she says, "It's really hard because my father was my rock. I'd go to the house, and when he was in, you know, he had COPD that he passed away from. But as she said, I'd go and visit my mom and dad." She said, "I always went to my dad's room first, spent a lot of time with my dad. I loved him. He helped me so much. He was my rock." And I said, "Now your rock is gone, isn't it?" She said, "Yeah." So I was able to share just a little bit. You don't get too Christianese, and you don't get too much into, you know, it's not a gospel message. But I was able to bring in the conversation a little bit about, yeah, our rocks on this earth and the times that are in our lives, with people in our lives, become our rock. But I said, in God's word, you know, it says that Jesus can be your rock. And I said, that's the rock that'll never go away. So I said, it's just something to think about. You know, you need a new rock. I know where one's at. But anyway, it was just visiting and talking and hearing a person's hurt and what they're going through. And she said, I took care of my grandmother. She said, I was not going to take care of my mom. And now she says, I'm taking care of my mom. She said, I would have loved to take care of my dad. You know, he was my rock. I loved him. But now I'm charged with the responsibility of my mom. And I said, I wouldn't do that. But I said, probably those times that you visited with your dad, and he, at the end of his life, he probably said, you know, well, I don't even, can't remember her name. I said, he probably told you, you need to take care of mom for me. And she said, yeah. He said that. And I said, so you're fulfilling your dad's desires. She goes, I know. We had a little bit more chit-chat. I encouraged her to find a church if she could. I said, there's a lot of good ones in town. I said, it's not that you can find just God in church. You can find him anywhere, but it's good to have fellowship and blah, blah, blah. And she got up, no prayer there. But as I come away from those times, it's like, okay, Lord, is that some of that light that we're to shine because of people have gone through stressful, sad, serious times? And guys, that's just on a Friday at Pantry, 2 to 3 people that come through. I know Jan has had a lady that's been kidney failure shut down for some time now, and praying with her and just trusting for some things there. But she's a young woman. I'd put her like maybe 30-ish. You know, kidney failure, some kids, what's going to happen? You know, I trust that she finds a little light through Janice coming to counseling, and she's pretty well here every month for Pantry. And we can kind of stay hooked up to these people and kind of ask them how they're doing. How was last month? Did that prayer? Do we need to pray? You know, it's just trying to be that light. And so whether it's tragic around the world, tragedy around our country, things within our own community that people are dealing with, you folks are the light of Christ. And don't take it lightly. Don't hide it. Don't keep it hidden under a basket. Don't be concerned with what you're going to say. I'm going to tell you, you just share as a compassion of a human being. And if you can feel that as a human, you can be okay, and you will comfort them as best you can. And you don't have to say things perfectly, because there is no perfect way to say things. But you just show love, you show compassion. And I hope it's just like if Jesus had been sitting across the table from any one of those that came to counsel or pantry that had a hard situation in their life. I hope and pray, if nothing else, yeah, the food is great, you can have the food. I just hope and pray that they sense something different of someone talking to them, listening to them, and trying to share back something to help them. And it's not us, it's that of the light of Christ working through us. And anybody can do that. Each and every one of you in this room can be that light. Don't think, well, I'm not a bright enough light. You are a bright light. And you can make a difference. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father. So, you know, I just had like those three areas, Philippians, Ephesians, and Matthew. Matthew, don't hide it. You know, in Ephesians, you know, we've been given that light. And Philippians, be that light bearer. Because this world needs some light. And I guess in the ways that it's going, it's going to make it, let's say, easier. But it's going to make it easier, guys, because people are stressed out there. They don't know the answers. They don't know where their help is coming from. They think it's through the government. They think it's through an agency. They think it's through whatever. And that's a temporary help, amen? But their true help will come from God to help them through, not just today, not just for the week. Because we know that in man, when man comes into help, they're there for like maybe 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 5 weeks, 2 months. Everything kind of looks like good, or this is as good as we can get. Okay, we're going to step out. Now you're on your own. That's man, and that's okay. But if we can introduce them to those things of God, we know that God will be there through the long haul. And if they can connect into a church, hopefully they can find that continuity there. And hopefully that church is a continuity, you know, or a conduit of the things of God just coming down into this place, into our community, into Rock County, into Janesville, whatever it might be. And if we can do those things, I think we'll do it well. I think God will be happy with us, you know, because it's just like we want to show his love and be that light. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for how your word instructs us, directs us, encourages us, and your word fixes us as well, Lord. We all come from different pasts and different situations, but our commonality here today as we sit here is that you are our Lord and that God is our God. And the works that we do are to bring honor and glory to him. We thank you, Father, for all the times that you are there with us. We thank you, Father, that you continually use us. Even we mess up, Lord. Even when we miss it sometimes, Lord, we realize that and we say, forgive us, Lord. And by your grace and by your mercy, Lord, we find that you will pick us up and use us again in some other situation. And then, God, we pray that you find us honoring you, rightfully so. Father, we thank you for the second and the third and the fourth and the sixth chance, maybe even more than that, Lord, that you continually give us in helping us get closer to you. I pray, Lord, today that our light will be shining brighter, Lord, that we desire to go forth and not hide it, not think that it's not enough light, that it is the right light, the bright light. It's whatever's needed at the time, Lord, that we just go forth, showing your light in this world. We know, Lord, that when we go forth, it's not in our own power, that it is you there working with us. Let us be that vessel that you use. We ask now, Lord, your blessings upon each one here today. As we depart here, Lord, we can't wait to get back here next week to hear more from you. But between now and then, Lord, as we meditate and pray and even read your word throughout the week, we thank you there for your presence. Bless each one, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.